Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again. Glad to be with you on this seventh Sunday of Easter. We are really moving through the Easter season, are we not? It's amazing how quickly it goes, but it is a brilliant time, and of course, we are not celebrating the seventh Sunday of Easter. We are celebrating the Ascension this Sunday, as it just has passed us by this last Thursday, but of course, we are transferring that celebration to this Sunday, and the Ascension is a really key part of our faith and our understanding. I think one of the things that the Ascension actually tells us is that even with all the wonderful things that Jesus did when he was here in the flesh and how he passed along that mission to the Church and how he promised to be with us to the very end of the age, he also promises us that there are homes for us that he is preparing in his Father's house. In other words, there is a culmination, a consummation of all things. And Jesus ascending to his Father in heaven says that although he is still with us, though in some ways you might say imperceptibly, or at least not such that our senses can see, as St. Paul tells us, there will come a time when we will see face to face. And that is a tremendous blessing. It's a tremendous reason for our hope. As again, St. Paul says, faith, hope, and love remain these three, but the greatest of these is love, because we have hope and faith now. We need them. We need them desperately. And the Ascension helps us to keep those things alive. And it is a great time to celebrate the fact that our Lord has indeed gone to the Father and is preparing a place for us, for you and me, even right now. And that's just another reminder. I know we talk about it frequently, but another reminder that you are personally known and loved by this God. Yes, it's true. God is love, and Christ himself has shown his love, the love of the Father, to all the world. But we are loved not just as a community, but we are loved in community as individuals. And he knows you, he loves you, and he is preparing a place for you. So stick with it and live out that life that he has called you to live. Speaking of which, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today here on the Rediscover Hours, living out that life that he has called you to live. Now, we could say that the overarching theme is vocations, and indeed, just after this first break here, we are going to have Father David Bloom on, who is the Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. But I'd like to, for those of you who have attended a called and gifted workshop that I have taught, you know this, you've heard me say this, but I'd like to suggest that although there are those sort of capital V, large categorical vocations that we explore as part of our Catholic faith, for example, a vocation to the priesthood, a vocation to the religious life, a vocation to the married life, that sort of thing, there is also a unique calling that God gives to each of us as individuals. And that he gifts us, he gives us those gifts such that we can live out that mission that he has given us. And that's true from the Pope all the way down to the laity, or maybe I should say the Pope all the way up to the laity and the least of these brethren, right? The Lord gives us these gifts. And in fact, tying the two together, these gifts and the Ascension, here's what St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, "But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, he ascended on high and took prisoners captive. He gave gifts to men." And isn't that it's a wonderful thing that as the Lord ascends on high, he promises, we've just heard in Mass recently, that if he did not ascend, the Advocate would not come, the Holy Spirit would not come. But he did ascend, and he sent his Holy Spirit down upon us. Actually, also, just little trivia here for you, too. This time between the Ascension, properly viewed on May the 10th, so we have 40 days after Easter, and Pentecost, properly viewed on the 50th day after Easter, that's where we get our whole idea of novena from, is a 9-day prayer in between Ascension and Pentecost. So lots of wonderful things going on here. As other guests that we have on the program, too, joining Father Bloom will be Emily Moyer, who has spent some time in Bethany House. She's going to tell us about that and how the Lord has been working in her own life, as well as Liz Bunnell, who is, she is actually poised to, this summer, set off for the Diocese of Fairbanks, Alaska, as a missionary. So that's a wonderful and exciting call as well. And then closing out the program will be Deacon Jim Meyer, who's assigned to Holy Family in St. Louis Park. And he's going to tell us talk a little bit about the end of vocation and what does it look like as a vocation well-lived. So that's what's in store for us. And I think it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful show as we understand how God calls each of us. So here, let's now pause and dedicate the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we go into our first break, I want to invite you to come back and stay with us because Father David Bloom and Emily Moyer are with us right after this.
Do you know what it means to give first? It's giving without asking for something in return, right? Helping a neighbor, friend, or family member. Giving your time, energy, or money to support a great cause. Well, the folks at Catholic United Financial know firsthand the benefits of giving first. Why? Because they're a not-for-profit financial company. For example, no one asked them to raise millions of dollars each year for Catholic schools. It's what they do. No one asked them to give post-secondary scholarships to over 500 kids each year. It's what they do. No one asked them to create a disaster response team 10 years ago to help those in need. And finally, no one asked them to hold annual volunteer events to help benefit the homeless and those less well off. They do it because they're a Give First organization, and they've been doing it for 140 years. People helping people with life insurance, annuities, and retirement products. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and do business with a Give First organization. Give them a call today.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again. And hey, I want to remind you all that we do Facebook Live, some of the program. I'm not sure if Facebook Live is an actual verb, but that's what we do. We put it on Facebook Live. So if you're listening on the radio now, of course, we're not live right now, but if you're listening or if you're looking for us right around the time of 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Friday mornings is when we record the program. Join us on Facebook Live. We also do a pretty good thing about, we're pretty good at posting those Facebook Lives as not live anymore, but we post them on Facebook on the rediscover-faith.org or the Rediscover Facebook page. Joining me now in studio as we launch into our program about vocations, Father David Bloom, who is the Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, and Emily Moyer, who has spent some time with Bethany House and done some discerning in her own life. And I'd like to welcome them both to the program. Welcome.
Welcome. Oh, it's great to be here.
Yeah.
Good
thank
to be
you,
here,
Father.
Patrick.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick.
Wonderful. I'm glad that you're both here. And Father, I think we want to start with you. How are things going with vocations these days in the Archdiocese?
You know, I was thinking, it's been about a year since I've been here, and so I've got a whole year's worth of material to talk about.
Well, we don't have a year's worth of time, but...
It's been a full year. It's been a busy year and a lot of grace. There's been a lot of beautiful things that have happened, and so we have all of our vocations activities, and those are on... You can find those at www.10,000vocations.org.
And that's the number 10,000, yeah?
That is, okay. 10,000. Mm-hmm. And so that gives you a little bit of an idea, just taking a look at the website of some of the things that have been going on. And so, you know, we have, and this is always the exciting time of the year, we have our ordinations coming up. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow we have four men who are at the end of their third year of theology, and they'll be ordained as transitional deacons. at the Basilica at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then on May 26th at 10 a.m. at the Cathedral, we'll have four men ordained to the priesthood.
Very exciting.
It is an exciting time. And then we are working with quite a few men who are on the cusp of coming into the seminary. And I hesitate to say a number because only God really knows.
Yeah.
So
that's fair enough. Yeah. You've got something coming up here called Quo Vadis camps. Yeah. Quo Vadis. What does Quo Vadis mean? Let's start there.
Sure. Quo Vadis means where are you going? And it's really, you know, it goes back to this sacred legend of Peter fleeing Rome during the persecution. And he's going along and he encounters Jesus. Jesus is carrying his cross and he's heading into Rome. Peter says, Quo Vadis, Lord? You know, mm-hmm. Quo Vadis, Domine? Where are you going, Lord? And he says, I'm going into Rome to suffer and to die because you won't.
Mm.
Peter turns around, goes into Rome, and is crucified upside down, as we know. And so he gives his life. But that's where the Quo Vadis comes from. Where are you going? And so in Quo Vadis, we're asking young people that very question. Where are you going? And it's a gentle and beautiful challenge to say, what is the Lord saying to you? And are you listening?
Yeah, yeah. Well, in those camps, what do they look like? And who should come?
Sure. So our camps, we have two of them, and they're both held at St. John Vianney Seminary at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. And we have our first camp for boys, which is July 8th to the 11th. And we've adjusted the age a little bit from last year. And so our age this year is age 14 to 17. 1 week later, we have the girls' camp, and that is July 15 to 18. So we start on Sunday evening with Mass, and then we will go through until Wednesday at about noon. And I think we end actually about 1 o'clock on Wednesday, both weeks. And so we have a whole set of things that we do. There's certainly times of prayer. There's talks about sacrificial love, about the saints. There's times of recreation. We have a couple of field trips in there, which I know the kids really enjoyed last year.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm intrigued now. Field trips. I'm guessing you're not going to the zoo. Where are you going for these field trips?
We are not going to the zoo. We're probably going to take a trip to the cathedral.
Okay.
That's what we did last year. And what an incredible tour we had of the cathedral last year. And then we also had a field trip for the boys to we went over to the Franciscan Brothers of Peace.
Oh, yeah.
And that was very inspiring. We were able to just spend some time with them and see religious life from the inside.
Right.
And so the girls went and they spent a morning with the Missionaries of Charity.
Oh, nice.
And then the next day they went out to Lake Elmo to the Carmelites and attended Mass there and spent some time there.
So you're giving them some actual exposure to the life of religious life, the priesthood as well for the boys, that there's a little bit of an exposure, there's a rubbing shoulders with and maybe getting a little inside information there. Is that right?
That's right. And these events, of course, are enjoyable, and the kids enjoy them. They like getting out of the building.
Sure.
And getting on that bus and going somewhere.
Sure. Just like we all did. And this is, you said 14 to 17, age
That's
14
right.
to 17. Okay. How many boys and how many girls come to these camps usually?
You know, we're just getting this started. We started last year, and I think last year we had somewhere around 28 boys, and we had about 20 girls.
Wow.
Our hope is that it will grow each year. And I think we're going to, at least for this year, we're hoping that it'll be stronger. Maybe we'll be up around 35 or 40.
Nice. And if I'm hoping that we have some listeners here who know young men or young women who are interested in something along these lines, where can they find out more? At 10,000vocations.org?
That's right. At 10,000vocations.org, we've got a registration page, and you can get all signed up there.
And dare I ask, is there a cost? What is the cost to this camp?
There's always a cost.
Of course.
No free lunch.
That's right.
But It's very reasonable.
Okay. All right.
And so I think that's on our website. It should be, but it's $100 for the 4 days.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man. $100 for 4 days. Sign me up. Well, maybe I'm a little out of the age range there. Well, wonderful. Let's talk a little bit about Bethany House as well. And Emily, I want to bring you in on the conversation here as well. Sorry, we haven't been avoiding you or neglecting you intentionally. Emily, tell us a little bit about what is Bethany House in general.
Yeah, so Bethany House is really intended to be a space for girls to come and young women to kind of step back and keep living their normal life, but also make the space to discern and just ask this question of, am I called to religious life? And really to just be more deeply with the Lord. So the name Bethany House refers to Jesus staying with Mary and Martha and Lazarus at Bethany. So the idea is that this year is sort of a retreat and just a chance to be there at Jesus' feet, listening to him, being with him.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, what a wonderful opportunity. Now, what age young women are coming to Bethany House, or is it open to a lot of different ages?
I believe it's 20 to 35. 25.
Right. Well, it's actually in the 20s.
So okay, in the 20s.
21 or so to 27.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. Very good. And do young women actually live there?
Yes. Yeah. So it's in an old convent, but there are no sisters there. But there are five of us living there. This is the first year. We've lived there since September. We'll be there September to May. And then every year we'll get hopefully a fresh batch of people to come.
Great.
Try it out.
And I assume there's a daily orarum, some daily schedule that you follow as well. What does that look like?
Exactly. So every morning we have a holy hour, holy half hour, starting at 5:45 a.m. And then we pray morning prayer together. Then we head over to the church for mass. Three nights a week we have community dinners together. And then every night we pray night prayer together.
Mm, very good. And this is, so that's at the ends of the day. So you're still out doing working jobs and things like that while you're discerning, yeah?
Yep.
That makes sense. Is Bethany House for particular, any order, any particular order, contemplative, active, both?
Yeah, any order, both. It's just really, just the space and very open.
Yeah.
It's really a time of discernment. And it's about God's will. And the Lord might call a young woman to marriage. Might call her to religious life. And so it's about discerning God's will. Throughout the year, there are times when religious sisters are invited over for supper, and they're able to share a little bit about their life and answer questions and just be with the women at Bethany House.
Very nice. Emily, now let's get a little more personal here, if you don't mind. What kind of an effect has Bethany House had on your life and your discernment?
Well, a very positive one, I can say that. It's been just a beautiful year and so many graces. Just having that space to discern and to listen to the Lord has been, so full of grace. I do not think I'll be continuing to discern religious life after this year, but I, at the same time, think that I can call that a very successful discernment, that I feel like I spent the time and asked the question, and the Lord provided some real clarity here in the last couple weeks. But it's just been a great time of really just growing in His love. I think we've all this year seen that that's really what it comes down to, what discernment of any call is just making the space to be with the Lord and realize how much He truly loves you and He really wants you to be with Him.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing the sisters and, interacting so closely with them has been a real great witness to this as well, to see people who've given their entire lives to serve the Lord in this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm grateful that you said, that you're probably not going to be discerning religious life beyond this time. I have to, here's a true confession from me. And now, bear in mind, I've only been a Catholic about 8 years now, but then this was probably 3 or 4 years ago. So I was still a pretty young Catholic. And a young man that I knew pretty well from the seminary, he appeared one day and just told me that he was going to be leaving the seminary. And my heart kind of sank, and I felt, oh, that's too bad. But I thought about it, and I vowed that I would never again do that, because the point of discernment is not that we get more priests, that we get more religious. The point of discernment is so that you can do the will of God for you, right? Mm-hmm. And some people he's called to the priesthood, some he hasn't. Some he's called to the religious life, some he hasn't, right? Mm-hmm. Father, just with that in mind, what are some of the, how would you describe the whole process of discernment? What are some of the key elements in 3 minutes or less? What are some of the key elements? If a young person happens to be listening and think, sure, I don't really know what to do next, yes, what should that person be doing?
Sure. You know, I'm only laughing because of the 3 minutes or less.
Right.
And we're talking about a very big topic of discernment. And everybody's discernment would probably look a little bit different. There's a wonderful book for women discerning, and the religious sister who wrote it said that she did everything wrong, and God still spoke to her, you know, and still led her and guided her. This is between us and God, right? It's this walk with the Lord. So obviously, we got to spend time in prayer. We got to spend time with the Lord. And at Bethany House, one of the beautiful things is that daily holy hour. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, daily Mass. We have these beautiful gifts of grace. We call them the sacraments. The Lord just is pouring out his grace upon us. And so so there's times of prayer, times in engaging the sacraments, walking with others, I think is important, and discerning or learning in our discernment, what is it that we're discerning? Mm. You know, if you're thinking of priesthood, learn more about the priesthood. If you're thinking about religious life, consecrated life, some form, you got to learn about that.
Sure.
And and then, of course, there's all kinds of books and materials to walk you through discernment. There's entire retreats. And so through our office and other events going on, I think one can engage clear discernment.
Right.
So,
right. 10,000vocations.org, again, is that website.
That's right. And you know, I just want to emphasize too, I always tell the guys who come and the men and women who come to my office, it's not about my will. If it was my will, you know, it'd all look very different. It's about God's will.
Amen to that.
That's what we want.
Right.
And we want God's will, and that's the only thing that we're really seeking for those who come to the Office of Vocations, those who come to Bethany House, those who engage in the different activities that we have.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Father David Bloom, Emily Moyer, it's been a pleasure having you on the Rediscover Hour today. I want to mention again, just in case you missed it, 10,000vocations.org, and explore some of the things that the Office of Vocation is going on. Is Bethany House also, Emily, included on that website as well?
Yes, indeed we are.
Okay, excellent. Well, that's the place to go. Excellent. Well, thank you both for being on the Rediscover Hour this morning.
Thank you, Fred.
Great to be here.
Thank you. We're going to head into our next break, and as we do so, when we come back, we're going to have Liz Bunnell with us talking about a different type of call, a missionary call, for the Diocese of Fairbanks, Alaska.
I don't think every Catholic really knows what the Church teaches and what the truth is, and that's why I thank God for venues like Relevant Radio, where you're teaching what God teaches.
We're here to help you. We're here to say, hey, this is where true happiness will be found. Here's the truth about marriage. Here's the truth about life. Here's the truth that will bring you fulfillment. And you're not going to find that any other place than in Jesus Christ. And Relevant Radio's whole mission is to make sure that message reaches you and souls who perhaps are really blinded by the great deception of our day, by the culture. If you really want to change your culture, keep Relevant Radio booming.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again with Susanna Perrin, our producer, and Michaela Anderson is stepping in for her this morning, as well as Paul Sadek, our technical producer. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Coming to you from the Relevant Radio Studios, 1330 AM here in Golden Valley, Minnesota. We are grateful for their hospitality to us and for us. Well, you know, St. John Paul II had this interesting thing to say. He said that the one purpose of the lay faithful, kind of the pressing thing for them, the thing that was forming a foundation, was an ever clearer understanding and discerning of their vocation, their calling, so as to live it and then live it to fulfill one's mission. So there again is even St. John Paul II is talking about there being a personal vocation within that realm of kind of the larger, broader concept of vocation that we currently have. And exemplifying that, I think, rather well is our next guest, Liz Bunnell, who I just happened to meet at a Call and Gifted workshop just a couple of weeks ago. And I'm very happy that she was able to join us on the radio today as I heard her story, because she is headed, as I've said, to the Diocese of Fairbanks, Alaska, to spend a year up there. So first of all, welcome to the program, Liz. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. Very good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to hear all about this. So Fairbanks, Alaska. Tell me about where this whole concept began. I mean, trace it back. Where did you even think that, well, you know, maybe the Lord wants me to go somewhere and somewhere that I'm not familiar with, another culture, and be a light for Him in that place? Where did that all start?
Yeah, so, well, my whole life, I guess I was raised Catholic, and I always had the feeling and just belief that everywhere, I'm Catholic, so everywhere I go, I should be a missionary, like no matter where
Amen.
I am. Amen. So I've tried to just live every day like that, but just in this last year, I felt the Lord calling for more, you know, just okay, like, it's time for more of a commitment in that missionary field. So I work for the Laboray Society right now, which is, it's been amazing and really good growth year for me.
Can you just take a brief moment to explain what the Laboray Society is?
Sure. Yeah, so we help men and women who are discerning religious life. They're blocked by their student loan debt. So we coach them and help them to fundraise their debt so they can enter their vocation.
Right.
So it's really beautiful, beautiful ministry.
Yeah.
Good people that work there.
Okay. So you're working for the Laboray Society, mm-hmm. and I'm still, okay, so there's a general thought, there's God wants something more.
Yep. Yeah, it's funny, because I work there, it's a great Catholic place, you know, you'd think, okay, this is like where I'm set, God wants me here. But there was still something missing, which was kind of weird for me, you know, like, okay. Lord, what? So I was, you know, asking that question to myself, like, Liz, where are you going? Like, Quo Vadis, you know, where are you
yeah,
going?
Yeah, you're right.
And then it's different when you ask the Lord, where do you want me to go?
Mm-hmm.
And He brought up Alaska. So
really? How did He do that?
So I heard about it from one of my old college roommates. She's from Fairbanks, Alaska, and she was serving as a missionary in Russia, actually, and she was praying about it, about if she was supposed to do another year there. Or another mission in Russia, but the Lord was calling her through Scripture, actually, to go back home and do mission there.
Because there's so much in Scripture about Alaska. Is that what you're saying to me? I missed that book.
It's in there somewhere, okay. You know?
Subtly, yes.
No, just to, like, evangelize at home, mm-hmm, like, to go home. Mm-hmm. For her, that was a really strong call.
Yeah.
And there's so much need in it. For it in Alaska, so
right,
so
okay,
it's very exciting,
right? So you must have some sense, because you're going in August and mm-hmm. it's May now, so
yep.
It's not that far away. You must have some sense of what, I mean, I'm sure you'll be learning a lot, but what life will be like, what mm-hmm. what you'll be doing, that sort of thing. Tell us
yep.
about that.
Yeah, so we will be working with the youth a lot, doing a lot of retreats and just relational ministry, and then young adult ministry and family ministry, lots of just like going and having dinners with families, just ministering to them in their homes, and then nursing home ministry. So it's kind of all around the board ministry.
Okay.
but it's just, it's building community, because that's mm-hmm. something that's really lacking there. And it's yeah, I mean, it's Alaska, it's dark, you know, in the winter, like so dark, so just a little scary, but like just to bring the light of Christ. Yeah, so there's a lot of need and just that relational ministry and showing people that they are loved. You know, that's I think one of the biggest things that I've been able to work with, like a youth groups a lot this year, and that's what I'm like, okay, I love, you know, I really just that's really in my heart. Like God's, that's what He wants me to do this next year, committed to, is that relational ministry. So
right, and it's not just you who's going, is that right?
No, yeah, there's four other missionaries who will be going, and we have Melody Doudna, who's the leader of this mission, who's my old college roommate. She's just done an amazing job with setting this up, and she's starting it. So she's contacted the bishop, and he has full support for us. And then this, we have another girl, Miranda, who's coming with us, and we're still waiting on two guys for the year. So, young men, we need you.
This is your call. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it can come through the radio. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe somebody's listening who says, yeah, that kind of cinches it. I think that's what the Lord is saying.
Yeah.
Excellent. So just out of curiosity then, in case somebody's wanting to find out more, and maybe there's a couple of guys who say, yeah, I'm up for a year in Alaska. Where should they go?
Yeah, they can go to adgentesmission.org.
You might want to spell that, Adgentes.
Yeah, adgentesmission.org/Alaska-mission.
Right, okay. So you've got a presence there, and they can find out more, and they can contact people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my understanding is, just in case you want to learn more right away this weekend, if you're listening even if you're listening Sunday morning, but if you're listening Friday night or Saturday, Bishop Chad Zielinski, who's the Bishop of Fairbanks, Alaska, is in town here St. Paul, and he's going to be, I believe, giving a missionary appeal at the Church of the Assumption in downtown St. Paul, is what I understand.
Yep.
So at all the Sunday masses there. So, yeah, you could go and find out more, especially young men who are thinking about going. You could go and hear him. I've heard him before. He's a dynamic guy.
Oh, and, I'm excited to meet him.
Yeah. He's very dynamic, and it seems like he'd be a fun guy to work with. Well, not fun, but a meaningful guy to work with. That's a better way of putting it. So let's go back to your mission there. And is this largely, are there, I assume, some indigenous peoples there who you'll be working with? So like the Inuit peoples and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of the mission as well?
Yeah, we'll be working with a lot, like everybody basically. Lots of parishes. So there's just a lot of need all around the board. So we'll just be kind of there to work and build community. So just the land mass of the diocese is nearly twice the size of Texas. So yeah,
that's the diocese.
Yep, and it holds 46 parishes, and in that there's just about 17 priests. So they need a lot of help, and this is, I think, the only mission diocese in the U.S.
In the U.S., that's what I understand, yeah.
Yep.
So let's just, my mind isn't taking this in. It's twice the size of Texas. There's 46 parishes and 17 priests.
Yep.
Which means that there's obviously a lot of parish sharing going on around here, but there might be miles and miles, tens of miles, hundreds of miles. Wow. And how do you get around? I mean, are roads plentiful up there?
I'm sure they are. I haven't been there yet, we will be flying out to the bush country areas in, like, we're going to try to do that every month or every other month, depending on our funds, if we can raise enough money for that. We'll be flying out to those places to run retreats because sometimes they don't get the sacraments for months at a time, up there. And it's kind of funny to think that those priests are also, they're not from Alaska. There's a lot of them from Poland, India, and Africa. So like mission places are sending their priests to Alaska to minister there. So
I love it that we are, and you see that even here in our own midst here, that I love it that we are receiving missionary priests here. I think that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned raising enough funds. Are you fundraising for this venture?
Yes. Yes.
And I presume your colleagues are as well, the other missionaries who are coming. All right. What's that been like?
It's been a journey. It's actually been really beautiful just to see people who are willing to help and the church really come alive. I still have a long way to go. But it just will be needing those funds to just run this mission. And then while we're up there as well, most of the missionaries just graduated college. I just graduated last year. So we have student loan debt. You know, we have debt of our own. So we will also be having part-time jobs. So I will possibly still be working with the Library Society while I'm up there just remotely.
Yeah.
So just for ourselves. And then all the funds that we raise are for the mission and the flights that we need to go out and then just our living expenses. So.
And I'm guessing if people want to give you a little bit or a lot, they can go back to that website again.
Yes,
right?
Which
just want to say it again.
AdgentesMission.org/Alaska-Mission. So it's AdgentesMission.org/Alaska-Mission.
Right. Okay. So I'm curious just if there's one thing that you're really excited about and one thing that you're really nervous about.
Mm-hmm. I'm nervous about I'm from Minnesota, but the coldness, you know, I mean, just like the weather. I know it sounds silly, but
you'll be fine.
Yeah, the weather and just the darkness. Mm. It's a little scary. You know, there's depression is a hard thing up there, and I want to be able to help people and not fall into, you know, like have it affect me, you know, but I think it'll be good, and we'll be able to relate to each other, you know. But really, I'm really excited for, I'm a singer, and so I just love music, and the Lord has really gifted my life with a lot of music and a voice. So I'm excited to bring that to others because it's helped me in my life, brought a lot of healing to me, so I love to give that to other people. So I'll be doing a lot of music ministry up there, and I still have to work on learning guitar a lot more, but I know a little bit, but it's going to be good. So
yeah,
I'm excited
yeah.
just to meet these people and minister to them.
Well, that's great. I was going to ask you about that because I know that in your bio here, I saw that you're a cantor at your parish of St. Nicholas in mm-hmm. Newmarket out there.
Yep.
That's great. That's and you think that there'll be plenty of full opportunities for you to do that up in mission as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think if I may, I'm just going to take a moment to say that's a great point is saying that mm-hmm. when God leads us somewhere, it's not as if he sends us empty handed, but he's again, given us all these gifts that he expects us to use. It's not just that we can use or we can't use, but he expects us to use those mm-hmm. gifts. Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful because you realize the gifts and then they only make sense when you can give them, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's just, you can't help but give them. So mm-hmm. it's very exciting to be able to know that this is, you know, just I have so much peace about doing this and that he wants me to give my gifts in this way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Just one more question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How can we pray for you? How can people pray for you and your team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just pray that we raise the funds we need, that we all get out there safely, and just that we are, our hearts are able to serve the people of Fairbanks and Alaska as best we can and so that their hearts are open to just receiving Jesus's love. That would mm-hmm. that's our point, that's our goal. So yeah.
Amen.
Thank you.
AdgentesMission.org/Alaska-Mission. Mm-hmm. I got it? Okay. Yeah. So that's the website you want to go to find out more about Liz and her companions and the two slots that are available for young men to join them as well. I think that's exciting. I think it's a good challenge to people to do that. And God's blessings in all that you're doing there, Liz.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you.
So looking at vocations as we have now, I want to turn the page and welcome to the program Deacon Jim Meyer, who's a good personal friend as well as being an outstanding deacon. He's been a spiritual director for me as well. And I know that he and his vocation, his living out of his vocation has been a tremendous blessing on many, many people's lives. I know that for a fact. And I just want to reflect with him a little bit more about saying a vocation well lived. So Deacon Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick. Great to be here. Yeah. Always great to see you.
Yeah, and great to see you as well. And well, let me just start with this. Let's start, since we have been talking about the beginning of vocation. When did it first start occurring to you that God might be calling you to the permanent diaconate?
Well, it was about 20 years ago. I just started a new job, and the CEO of the company invited me to go to a Promise Keepers conference.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember those years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know what that was, but I said, sure, I'll go with you. And we showed up down at the Metrodome, and there were 40,000 men singing and clapping, and we love Jesus. Yes, we do. We love Jesus. How about you?
Yeah.
It was a little overwhelming for me,
yeah,
to tell you the truth, but I came away from that with two things. One, men need to spend time with other men in accountability-type groups, small groups. And number two, men need to spend time reading sacred scripture. And I'm a cradle Catholic, went to Mass every Sunday, but I really never spent any time reading the Bible. I didn't even own one.
Mm.
So I went out and bought one, picked it up and began to read, and I couldn't put it down.
Mm.
I read it from cover to cover over the next few months and then started over again. And the more that I read, the more that I realized that there were things in my life that were not consistent with what I was reading on the pages of that book. And my life needed to change. So I began working on making some of those changes. And as time went on, it felt to me like God was asking me for something I had no idea what it was. So I kept praying and listening and praying. And one summer afternoon, my wife Chris and I were shopping at the mall and ran into some old friends of ours we hadn't seen for a while. And it was just the wife of this couple. And so, what's going on in your lives? And she said, well, Mark, my husband Mark is beginning formation to become a deacon in the church. I thought, oh, maybe that's what God's asking of me. And so, as would be my style, I went out and bought every book I could find on being a deacon,
yeah,
and what's involved. And,
yeah,
and still wasn't really sure about that. And one Saturday morning, woke up 5 a.m., couldn't go back to sleep, and went downstairs, turned on the TV to EWTN. And what was playing on EWTN? A diaconate ordination.
Hint, hint.
I'm a little slow. Takes me a little while to catch on, but maybe that's it. So I said, I'll apply and go through the long application process. And lo and behold, they put me in the next class.
Wow.
So through those years of formation, whenever we'd get a letter from the chancery, I would hold it up to my wife, Chris, and say, see, they're kicking me out.
Mm.
And they never did. Archbishop Flynn ordained me in September 27th, almost 15 years ago. It'll be 15 years this fall. And I just love serving the church as a deacon.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that, too. I definitely want to hear where God has really met you in and through your service as a deacon.
Well, I started, I was 3 years at my home parish, which is Assumption in Richfield. Served there for several years, and as I continued to pray, the Lord was asking something more of me. And again, I wasn't sure what that was, so I went on retreat for the weekend, and I just sat with that question and came away at the end of the weekend feeling confident that what he was saying to me is, quit your job in the business world and come and work for the church. So I went in and told my wife and said, here's what I hear God asking of me. What do you think?
Yeah. And what did she respond?
You know, she's been so supportive through everything. She said, if that's what you feel God's calling you to, you just got to follow it. So I was nervous about that.
Yeah.
Went into my boss and said, I'm going to work one more year and then I'm going to quit. And that year went by so fast. So now I got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what's next. And Assumption in Richfield is one of the parishes with Spanish-speaking masses. So I didn't really speak much Spanish, so I went to Mexico City for a month, tried to learn how to speak a little Spanish, and came back and was just going to take some time off and search around. And I was referred down to the cathedral by a friend of mine to talk to Father Joseph Johnson, and walked in and started to visit. He said, here's what we're in need of. We need someone to oversee the financial operations of the cathedral and manage the accounting department and so on. And because that's the kind of work I'd done for 25 years. And I said to Father Joseph, no, I don't think that's what God's calling me to. I think he's calling me to diaconal service. And Father Johnson's a very quick thinker. So he said, well, if not, then how about this, you know, dealing with baptism, weddings, and funerals, and liturgies. I said, that's it. Mm. That's what I think God's asking of me. And so began the Cathedral of St. Paul on January 1, 2007. And that was, I love our cathedral. Mm-hmm. It was a wonderful privilege to serve there. I was there for 6.5 years. And it's just, you know, it's amazing. All the great liturgies you become part of. Busy place, though. Mm-hmm. Lots going on. Mm-hmm. You know that well.
I do.
And about 7 years ago, about halfway into my time at the cathedral, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And, you know, as time went on and my ability to work as hard as I have always worked in my life, you know, began to go down. And the needs of the cathedral are always increasing.
Yeah.
So, Father Joseph had left the cathedral, moved out to Holy Family about a year earlier than that. So I called him and said, have you got anything part-time for me? And of course he said, absolutely. Mm. So it was difficult to leave the cathedral because I love our cathedral, but this has been a good move for me. Mm-hmm. Holy Family is a wonderful parish, and I'm doing the same kinds of things I was before, but it's flexible. Mm-hmm. So as my health challenges continue, I'm able to do what I can do and as much of what I can do, and it's wonderful.
Right. In addition to maybe slowing you down a little bit or making you take some more time for rest and recuperation, that sort of thing, how has the Parkinson's diagnosis, how has that influenced, enhanced, maybe deepened your own contemplative life, your own drawing near to the Lord, your own relationship with God?
I love to pray. I mean, I think I'm a big-time introvert, but the Lord keeps pushing me out in front of people. Mm-hmm. But the Parkinson's is a gift. I really view it as a gift from God that allows me, he trusts me enough to carry this gift. And I hear him saying to me over and over again to live this out in a public way because the world is confused about suffering. Mm. The world runs from suffering as opposed to embracing it and using it and making it fruitful. Mm-hmm. Archbishop Sheen said many times, you know, the greatest tragedy of our day is the amount of wasted suffering. So as time has gone on and I've kind of continued to pray and contemplate all that's been happening, you know, come to say, when we have suffering in our lives, don't go to the question, why me? Or it's not fair. But instead, thy will be done. Or the message of Job, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Or even better, this is an opportunity for me to show God how much I love him. And that's the way I'm trying to look at it, and as a great opportunity to live our faith in the midst of suffering.
And I think it ties in well with the way we started the show, talking about Quo Vadis, and from this understanding of Peter fleeing from persecution, meeting the Lord, saying Quo Vadis Domine, and saying, I'm going into Rome to suffer again. And I think it's a great point to say that when we follow the Lord, we are invited into his suffering. St. Paul talks about that all the time, that we are, may I share in the sufferings of Christ so somehow to obtain the resurrection from the dead.
Well, my favorite scripture verse is Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, yet I live, no longer I, but Christ lives in me. So if I can get out of the way enough to let the light of Jesus shine through me into the world. That's my hope.
Mm. Deacon Jim, we will certainly be praying for you, for your wife Chris, for your family, and we are grateful for the example that you are setting in the midst of suffering and carrying that out and living it out publicly, not for any glory to you, but glory to God. But I'm wondering, just as we close our time together, if you'd be willing to pray for us and to offer us your blessing.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Loving Father, we give you thanks for the many graces and blessings you give to us. Lord, help us to accept the sufferings you allow in our lives as a gift, as an opportunity, as a way to show you our love for you. Help us to live our lives, lives of love and mercy, keeping the one commandment, love others as you have loved us. So we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We love you, we love you, we love you. We pray all things in the holy name of Jesus, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God. Deacon Jim Meyer, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour, and thank you for the life that you have led in faithfulness to the Lord.
Thank you, Patrick. God bless you.
Yeah. We're going to go into our final break, and as we do so, there are ways in which we are being called, and some of these things that we have to announce, I mean, they might lead us deeper into that vocation. So stay with us.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3% with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
Well, it's a new day. Oh, it's a new time, there's a new way. I'm gonna live my life, all the old has passed away, and the new has come. Praise God, it's a brand new day.
It is indeed a brand new day, and there are always new days ahead for us so long as we maintain that faith and hope and love in Jesus Christ. And
amen.
Some of the ways we can do that, Paul.
Well, the Church of St. Helena in Minneapolis invites you to their Evening Affirming Human Life and the Family, Thursday, May 17th. Guest speaker, Father Robert Shea, chaplain at the University of Mary in Bismarck, diocesan ethicist for healthcare. The event consists of a social at 6 p.m., catered dinner at 7 p.m., followed by musical entertainment and Father Shea's talk. Tickets, just $25 per person, scholarships available. Tickets must be purchased before Monday, May 14th by calling 612-729-7321. The evening is co-sponsored by the Church of St. Helena and the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org.
Sacred Relics of the Saints and Treasures of the Church will be coming to Minnesota this May. You are invited to the Church of St. Paul on Sunday, May 20th at 6 p.m., to St. John the Baptist in New Brighton on Monday, May 21st from 6:30 to 10 p.m., and Nativity of Mary in Bloomington on Tuesday, May 29th at 7 p.m. Father Carlos Martins of the Companions of the Cross will present a teaching and exposition of sacred relics in the main church. There will be over 150 relics on display, some as old as 2,000 years. There will also be present a portion of the Veil of Our Lady, a piece of the True Cross, and many saints. For more information and to find out about more locations this will be offered at in our archdiocese, visit treasuresofthechurch.com.
Grandparents, you're invited to bring your grandchildren for a summer pilgrimage to the majestic Cathedral of St. Paul, Thursday, June 28th, 1 to 3 p.m. The event takes place during the annual Fortnight for Freedom as we look forward to Independence Day. This pilgrimage to the cathedral includes the opportunity for your grandchildren to have an up-close view of the sanctuary, altar, and archbishop's chair, brief tutorial of the Mass by Father John Paul Erickson, and more. The pilgrimage ends in Hayden Hall to enjoy cookies and lemonade. For more information and to register, visit rediscover-faith.org. Click on events.
This year marks the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, an encyclical written by Pope Paul VI to reaffirm the Orthodox teaching of the Catholic Church. In recognizing this anniversary, Bishop Andrew Cousins will be meeting with young adult groups throughout the Twin Cities to discuss Humanae Vitae and to address questions. You are invited to the Basilica on Thursday, June 28th. Q&A with Bishop Cousins will be from 7:15 to 8:30 p.m. in St. Teresa of Calcutta Hall. So, we are not going to be live next week as it's Pledge Drive week, but then in 2 weeks' time, we've got another show on all four transitional deacons who will be celebrating their ordination to the priesthood. Man, you're not going to want to miss that show, all four transitional deacons. Until that time, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.